Good morning. I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News. It's time for the business side this week with Chris Bollinger, director of the Center for Business and Economic Research in the UK Gatton College of Business. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you, Alan?
I'm well. Prior to the start of the legislative session, I asked you about the prospects of tax reform. Well, now, GOP lawmakers have sent a bill to the governor's desk, and as of Friday, that's the time you and I are talking, I wanted to get your take on it. It's not revenue neutral, but is it as fair as it could be?
Well, fair is a difficult word to answer. I can talk about where the impacts are, and I can talk about who is going to pay the higher taxes and who's going to pay lower taxes. Whether it's fair or not, I'm going to let the listeners make their own decision on what they consider to be fair. I think, the first thing you have to realize is that this bill is slated to raise another $234 million in tax revenues in fiscal year 2019 and $244 million in fiscal year 2020. Those are the projections we're getting out of the LRC and out of the revenue side of the government. And so whenever you institute some sort of change that increases the revenues, that's a tax increase. You can call it whatever else you want, but that's a tax increase. And where most of that is coming from is the broadening of the base of the sales and use tax.
All right, let's talk a little bit about that because it's only certain services. Any particular reason why?
That's correct. Well, who knows what's in the mind of a legislator, right? So let me begin by saying the Center for Business and Economic Research, housed a tax reform study back in 2012, and my colleague Bill Hoyt and other colleagues worked very hard on carefully looking at Kentucky's tax structure at the time, and it really hasn't changed much since then except now this bill. One of the things that economists call for all the time is a broad base on taxes. And so when we think about sales tax here, we look at the sales tax that's imposed by Kentucky, and to date, that sales tax is only imposed on goods, that is, tangible physical things that you purchase, like clothing or tools or whatever you buy at the store, and not services. And services are now something like 60% of our economy, and so that means we're giving a tax break to this service side of the economy, while taxing the goods side. And what that does is that distorts people's choices because it changes relative prices. And so economists always prefer a tax that is broadly based, that's taxing everything so as not to distort those choices, so as not to essentially pick winners and losers in the economy by taxing some things and not taxing others. So as an economist, I look at this as a step in the right direction, but in my view, not a big enough step. I'd like to see a broader base taxing virtually all services. That's what the Blue Ribbon Commission that my colleagues worked on called for, and I think most good economists would argue that a broader base is a better tax. And there I might even use the word fair because it taxes everything equally. Along with that can come a lower rate, which is even better because then you're paying a lower percentage of your income on taxes on any one good. And so you can broaden the base and lower the rate and keep revenues neutral, or if you want to increase revenues, increase taxes, you can keep the rate higher. So my view is that while this is a step in the right direction of broadening the base, which is a better tax policy, it's not a big enough step. Now, most of your listeners are going to not like that idea because nobody likes anything taxed. But ultimately, taxes are what pay for all of these other things that we're talking about, our education and our our roads and our infrastructure that we think are important. And so the question really is how to most effectively raise those taxes without actually distorting the economy.
The left-leaning group, the Institute for Taxation and Economic Policy in D.C., has said this will actually, as far as the income tax portion of this. 95% of the people in Kentucky are going to see their income tax raised.
Well, that's right. And there's two. So to be clear, actually, yes, that's absolutely true. And it's also true that and part of that is actually coming from the sales tax, too, if you read their report carefully, which I did. So there's two issues there. So the first is what they've done is they've flattened the income tax structure. So we used to have what's really called a progressive income tax, which is what most income taxes in most states and certainly our federal income tax are designed as. And that progressive structure puts a higher rate on higher income people and a lower rate on lower income people so that people in the top 10% pay a higher tax on those dollars than people in the bottom 10 or 20 or 30%. So flattening that to a flat 5% tax simplifies things, but what you have to recognize is all those people who were paying less than 5% before are now going to pay a higher tax rate, whereas the people who were paying that 6% tax rate, which is basically in Kentucky people who earned above roughly $75,000 to $100,000, depending on their family structure and a lot of other things. But roughly, if you were over $100,000 in household income, you were paying at least a little bit of the 6% rate, and you won't pay that anymore. And so you get a little bit of a break. But if you look at their report, what we're talking about is for most of those households, it's a relatively small amount of change. It's like $700 lower taxes, which for households up in those income ranges, they were paying a lot in income tax. So it's actually a relatively small change for most of those households. But it is a tax break to the wealthiest Kentuckians, and it does raise taxes to those who are in the lower 95%. The other place, though, and this is really important to recognize, the other place where that tax becomes less progressive is in that broadening of the sales tax base. In part, broadening the sales tax base will help the sales tax be less regressive because poorer people tend to spend more on goods and less on services, while richer people tend to spend more on services. So exempting services from sales tax is exempting richer people from sales tax on the things they tend to buy. So spreading that out. But many of the services they spread it to, in particular the automotive, are services that poorer people do tend to use, and so they're going to get hit with a higher tax as well.
Now, small businesses are pretty much not happy about this, and they fear people will start cutting back to save money. What's your thought on that?
Well, I mean, you know, fundamentally, an increase in sales tax is an increase in the price of the good, and they will indeed and in fact cut back some to save money because it's not you only unless we suddenly get big raises, you only have so much money. And if you raise the price of something, that means you have to buy less of it because you can't keep buying more of it. But I think it's going to be a relatively small effect on most small businesses. I think if you think about automotive repair is a great example here. Charging a sales tax on the service part of automotive repair means that, you're going to pay a little bit more. So what are you going to give up? Well, are you really going to not fix your car? And the answer to that is no, you are. So it'll be felt across the board because you'll have to reduce your spending elsewhere to continue to maintain your car. But it's going to be a relatively small effect. And so I think that this will certainly change things, but I think it's a relatively small impact that we're looking at. And if the economy continues to be strong and grow as certainly the Bevin administration has claimed it will, and that there's new, many other new policies are much more business friendly, I think on net we could assume that things will continue to go very well in the state.
Final question about closing loopholes. Do you think enough of them were or was that even addressed in this tax reform package?
Well, I see some things as that were loopholes that were closed. I see others that I'm not sure were necessarily loopholes. I mean, one person's loophole is another person's, you know, saving grace, so who knows? You know, one thing I would point to is they closed off the deduction for medical expenses, and that's one that very, very few people take. Okay, this is the one where if you've spent more than 2% of your income on out-of-pocket medical expenses, you can deduct those against your income. That's a very rare thing that most people don't qualify for. It takes an awful lot of income an awful lot of medical expenditures to get most of us up over that threshold. There are some groups who really did use that, though, and one demographic group that used that a lot would be poor people without health insurance. And so if they have a major health event and their incomes are relatively low, they're allowed then to deduct that from their income tax, and that may give them some relief. The other group that may hurt is retired people. Retired seniors have relatively low incomes, low taxable incomes. They're typically living off of savings, pensions, things like that. If they have a large medical expenditure, now most of them are covered under Medicare, but there can still be large out-of-pocket expenditures even still. In that case, they may be taking that deduction, and that may help them significantly, and now that's gone. But I think that's a relatively small amount of people.
All right. We have just enough time for a closing statement, just a summarization of what you looked at as far as the tax package and the effectiveness thereof.
Well, I think the tax package moves to trying to increase revenues for the state. Much of it's coming through the sales tax. The thing we didn't mention was the smoking, the tax on 50% tax on cigarettes, which I think puts us more in line with a lot of other states around us and is probably not a terrible thing, but I question whether we're going to get as much revenue out of that as they project. And I think in general, like, we needed to raise rates, we needed to raise more revenue. We've got some structural deficits that we're running, in particular associated with our pension. And one way or another, we're going to raise taxes. I think in general, the broadening of the sales tax rate is a good step, but I think it's not anywhere near big enough. And I think they didn't consider a number of other important options as well.
All right. That's all the time we have today on the business side. Chris Bollinger, director of the Center for Business and Economic Research in the UK Gatton College of Business, has been our guest today. And as you can tell, there's quite a bit to go over this tax reform package. And you can hear our entire conversation at WUKY.org. Have a great week ahead, Chris.
All right. Great. Thanks, Alan.